You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete. A relationship with Jesus promises grace and rest. Dig deeper into this truth in week 3 of our series, Beyond the Signs.
All right, are we here 7 p.m. service? They say that the 7 p.m. service is the most enthusiastic, energetic, lively crowd there is. Diba? So if you're here, just give a high five to your seat and tell them, I'm so glad you could be here tonight. Now, for those of you who are here for the first time, let me just introduce myself as well. My name is Tom, and I'm one of the campus missionaries here. And that being said, I know that today is graduation day for some of us. If you're here and you have a relative or a friend who is graduating, please lift up your hand. Namoy kailang ang graduating at least. Okay, thank you so much. Okay, so a brief shout out to all our students. Congratulations to all our graduates. All right, whether it's college or I guess sometimes April sa ubang high school students. If na may kaila, congrats still, alright? So congratulations to all the graduates and to all the families as well who are celebrating tonight. Now tonight, we're down to the third installment of our series called Beyond the Signs. Can you tell your seatmate, Beyond the Signs? If you're new here, this series is all about revisiting some of Jesus' miracles, particularly those that point to His nature, to Him being the Messiah or the Savior. We're going to look at some of those miracles. In the past 2 weeks, we talked about the wedding in Cana. Just a quick recap for all of us. We talked about when Jesus turned water into wine. On the second week, we talked about when Jesus healed an official's son. That He was able to heal someone even if He wasn't there physically. Even if He wasn't near the person. Just by saying something, He was able to heal the person. Now tonight, we're going to look into another amazing story. And speaking of amazing stories, how many of you are familiar with these guys right here? Among younger people, siguro wala kailan ano niya. Do you guys know this, guys? It's Ernie Barone, okay? And Mark Logan, okay? Not to confuse with Logan Wolverine, okay? Si Mark Logan, si Ernie Barone. I just remembered these guys as I was preparing for this. Since we're talking about miracles and, you know, amazing stories, parang unbelievable stories, I remembered when I was younger, these two would be the only reason why nanta kong news, okay? Ernie Barone with his, I guess, scientific stuff. Like, pakita nila mga amazing facts. Of course, si Mark Logan, the fun stuff. The funny news and all that. But basically, both would share amazing stories on the news. And I would be excited to watch these guys every time itong bata pa ko. That's the only thing in the news na ganahan ulang taon. And I'm saying that because tonight, we're gonna look into another miracle of Jesus. As we do so, we're gonna look into another story naman. Now, if it was present today, this story would be in the news. It would probably be siguro in our social media. It would be trending. Tonight, we're going to talk about the healing at the pool. Okay? Specifically, when Jesus healed someone at the pool of Bethesda. Okay, so if you have your Bibles with you, kindly turn them to John chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 1 to 18. If you don't have your Bibles with you, you can just read them on the screen. So John chapter 5, verses 1 to 18 says there, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, He asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool. When the water is stirred, while I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. In his defense, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." It was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. So a couple of things as we've read that story a while ago. So what we have here is that Jesus went into this pool. And when we think about a pool, is that kanang ginahunan ato nga pool nga kanang pang pool party
Or if mo tumug aqua kay mag swimming practice mo para ma healthy. That's not the kind of pool that we have. This pool is a pool of healing. Okay, a place where people would gather so that they would be healed in the hopes of them getting healed. I have a picture right here just to make it visual for us. Okay, that's an example of what the pool might look like. So people of different illnesses, disease, injuries, they would try to make their way into this pool, and their belief is that as they would dip themselves in the water, they would get healed. That's what this place is about. Now in verse 3, we came across this invalid man. Now we don't know much about him. Okay, we don't even know who he is. Wala yung halan siya. All we know that this guy is an invalid. When I say invalid, it means he has an illness, a disease, or an injury. And most likely he's paralyzed because it says here na, okay, one was there invalid for 38 years. And in verse 6 says, when Jesus saw him lying, he had been there in condition for a long time. He asked him, do you want to get well? And in verse 7, he says, I have no one to help me into the pool. So it gives a picture that this man requires help just to get into the pool. We're talking about somebody who's probably lame, crippled, or paralyzed. And that's what our source is focusing on, the first part. This is kind of like a two-part story. On the first part, we're going to look into this man at the pool. So there's this guy at the pool. For the past 38 years, he would probably try to be here. Imagine that. 38 years siya nagsakit and suffering from this condition. And for many years ago, he tried to make his way into the pool, but he can't be healed. Now for that statement, for us to grasp that statement, some Jewish people actually believe that on that pool, ang ilang gituan is that there was like an angel that would come every now and then, and that angel would stir the water. And as they did so, their belief was that the first person who would be in the pool would get themselves healed. That is why he says na, I can't be healed because I can't get there on time. No one can assist me and be there. All right? So that's the case right here. And Jesus comes into the picture of this man. Okay, we have a man who is paralyzed probably. He wants to get into the pool, but maglisod siya. And then Jesus comes. And when Jesus meets him, the first thing Jesus told him is, do you want to get healed? Jesus being God, knowing, and as we read a while ago, Jesus knew and learned he had been suffering for 38 years. And told him, do you want to get healed? Gahan ka maayo ba ka? And what he said is pretty interesting because if someone asks you if you would go to the hospital, if you would go to your doctor, you would get a diagnosis and all that, if your doctor asks you, do you want to get healed? What would you say? What would we say? Yes, diba? Or if di ko kagana, sige, no, di ka ganun may healed. It's a yes and no question, as simple as that. But this guy, his response was neither a yes or a no. He says, verse 7, sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool. When the water is stirred while I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. What was his response? His response was basically one with hopelessness in it. Parang, sir, he didn't know it was Jesus. He didn't know whom he was talking to. He said na, walang makatabang na ako. I can't bring myself there. And if I try to, someone else goes ahead of me. We're talking about someone here who has endured, struggled, and probably has gotten accustomed to his suffering for 38 years. Na to the point nga, naanad na lang siya, inanadyo dyan life na ako siguro. Inanin na siya. That's the kind of person we're talking about here. Okay? Na parang if you would want to get the mood probably of this person, if you want to visualize, it's okay, what's going through his mind or emotions, it would be this picture right here. I don't know if you can relate to this, but sometimes you have so much stuff to do that you decide to take a nap instead. Have you ever had that feeling na parang you're so overwhelmed, you're so stressed, you're so tired, you feel na parang wala kayo mabuhat na tulog na lang ko eh. Everyone here, you honestly had those moments. Diba? Oh, thank you, Ridge. Okay. Diba? We've all had those moments. And this guy was like, parang higda na siya ito na, wala. Wala yung maka-help na ako. Wala yung makadala na ako sa pool and all that. That's what's happening right here. There's this level of hopelessness and helplessness in this person. And interestingly, amidst that situation, amidst the answer, Jesus responds to the following. In verse 8, then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. He tells Jesus, no, this is my condition. And Jesus responds by telling him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And as we've read in verse 9, okay, he got healed instantly, okay? After he heard those words, he got up, picked up his mat, and walked. And that's pretty amazing. Because if you look at it, this guy, this invalid man, did not earn anything to get that kind of healing. We're talking about someone here who was hopeless. Someone here didn't know who Jesus, yung kasura si Jesus gani. This guy had no merits. And yet, out of the grace and compassion of Jesus, He healed this guy on the spot by just speaking, by just commanding, go, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Now, what does this mean for us here today? Perhaps for some of us here tonight, we can relate to this man. We can relate to this invalid man. I'm not saying you might not be physically be paralyzed, okay? I'm not saying one of us here is impaired or crippled. That might not be you. But there might be some areas in your life that you feel paralyzed. There might be some areas in your life you feel crippled. You feel lame. You feel parang you're like this man, hopeless. This man, for 38 years, or how long siguro, would sit next facing the pool and hoping one day, makatiming siya, makado siya sa pool. And maybe for some of us here today, we are like that. We're sitting, feeling hopeless, and we're thinking, man, if mahitabo lang ming thing na we're betting our hopes on, then everything would be okay. Maybe for some of us here, we can relate to this man on that level. Now, if you're here today, maybe you feel challenged, depressed, helpless, and hopeless. My prayer and my hope is as we read and get to go through this miracle, the story of this miracle, may getting through this story inspire and encourage us to hope once again. Now, though we may be challenged, though our challenges, our problems may not be solved quickly or in a flash or like this guy, parang instant na wala yung problema niya, it might not be that, but we can hope once again. Let's look into what happened here. Again, Jesus was able to heal this guy instantly. What does that show or tell us? Over the past few weeks that we've been going through these miracles, that we've gone through this series, a couple of things have been being repeated as we talked about Jesus performing miracles. Firstly, He is compassionate. We've learned about this in the first installment. We learned this in the second installment as well. Jesus is compassionate. He is moved with compassion. And again, we've read in these verses that Jesus knew or learned that this guy has been suffering for 38 years. He knows what this guy is going through. And even though this guy didn't do anything to earn it, He still healed this guy. And that goes for us. For all of us here today, we do not need to earn the favor of God. I'm not saying we don't obey God. Yes, we obey God by all means. You follow God, you obey God, we honor God. Of course, we do all those things. But if you're thinking that it's only by doing good works that we get to earn the blessing and the favor of God, then we are sadly mistaken. We see here someone who didn't do anything to earn that, and yet it was given to him. Because Jesus is not only compassionate, He is gracious. Him being God, He is gracious. That your seatmate, He is gracious. Gracious, what do you mean by someone is gracious? It means He freely gives us something even if we don't deserve it. Even if we don't deserve it like this person here. Jesus is gracious. And not only that, He is powerful. We learned this thing last week as well. Yes, He is compassionate. Yes, He cares for us. Yes, He wants to bless us with something even though we don't deserve it. But not only that, He's powerful. He's able to do it. He's able to back it up. Can you imagine this? Just by saying, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Someone who has been suffering for 38 years, suddenly had the strength to get up, walk, as if nothing happened. Ang imagine, ang bones niya, ang legs niya, parang all of a sudden, he suddenly had the strength to get up. All of a sudden, suddenly everything got healed in an instant. There is no known medicine known to man, I think, today, that it would instantly heal someone like that. Na parang, if naka-injury, on an instant, healed na kanayon. There's no known medicine to man that could do that. We're talking about someone who could do it. If you remember last week, Jesus is able to even heal someone even if He wasn't there near the person, even if separated by distance. That's Jesus. He's able to do something we cannot. And that speaks a lot in our present circumstance. Whatever it is that we're going through, church, whatever situation or scenario you're facing right now, like this man, you may have had nights na parang nakalingkod lang ka, like this guy, thinking, man, what's gonna happen? Good news for all of us is that Jesus is in the picture. We are never alone. Jesus never leaves us, nor He forsakes us. And the good news is He's able to pull through. The reason why we can hope, for all of us here today who felt hopeless and helpless, the reason why we can hope and move forward and live victoriously is because of Jesus, because of Him. Just a while ago, as we started this service, we had our communion. Diba? We had our communion. We do it every now and then. And again, a communion is a time for us to be reminded of what Jesus did for us. His sacrifice, Him dying on the cross for our sins. And as we were singing that song a while ago, grace changes everything. Do you remember that we were singing that song? We were declaring that line, it is finished. The victory is won. And if Jesus was able to win the biggest victory for us, dying on the cross for our sins, winning us from the effect of our sins, how much more the things we're presently encountering. The Bible says, who is it that overcomes the world? He who believes in Jesus overcomes the world. Let us put our hope and our faith in Jesus. I encourage everyone here, now maybe hope once again, put our hope and faith in Jesus. Someone's able to immensely do something that we cannot. If we believe God can only do something in this level, in this way, na parang we can put Him in a box, and we are sadly mistaken. Every time Jesus would do a miracle, He would do something that's out of the box, out of the ordinary, that would surprise people. And we're going to learn more of that as we have the other installments. So as we go back to the story, we see here Jesus healing this guy instantly. He gets up, pick up his mat, and walk. Now after that, after this story, now we get to the second part. What happens after that? The guy gets healed, starts walking, picks up his mat. Then something happens. Something interesting happens. In verse 10, he comes across the Jewish leaders. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." What happens here? Okay, someone got healed, but instead of people rejoicing, okay, remember, there's a great crowd around there. These Jewish leaders approached him and scolded him for something. And for us to grasp what's happening here, we need to learn and look into Jewish tradition and law. For them, for the Jewish people, basta Sabbath, basta holy day, Sabbath day, you are not allowed, basically, to carry your things. Okay? Whatever that thing might be, your backpack, your food, whatever item that is, pag Sabbath day, bawal kang magdala ng anything. If someone sees you carrying something, you'll be accused of breaking something in the Sabbath. You'd be accused of doing something wrong during the Sabbath day. And that's what's happening here. Because he was told by Jesus to pick up his mat and walk, was seen by Jewish leaders, and they told him, "The law forbids you to carry your mat." Verse 11 says, but he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" He says, "Katong gahil na ako. Siya ang ingon na ako nga to pick up my mat and walk." He didn't know it was Jesus again. And verse 12, they said to him, "Who is this fellow whom you told to pick up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. All right, so nabaga ninja po si Jesus. He slipped away. Right, he disappeared. So what's happening right here? Is Jesus ba guilty of breaking the law by telling this guy to pick up his mat? Actually, by no means. Because that law, that instruction right there, if you read your Bible, it's not actually found in the Mosaic law or the original law God gave to the Israelites. It's something actually that the Jewish elder leaders added because of their interpretation, meaning it's a man-made law. It was something that gidungag granila. So Jesus here is not guilty of breaking any law, the original law of the Sabbath. Because he himself is the Lord of the Sabbath. He can't break and deny himself. So nothing, he didn't, you know, break anything. And in verse 14, later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." Something worse may happen to you. Now, what's happening right here? An important question has to be answered, okay, as we're reading this story. And that is, why did Jesus heal this guy on the Sabbath day? Diba question, can Jesus not heal this guy on a Monday? Can he? Yes, diba? Of course he could. Can he heal on a Saturday? Can he heal on a Tuesday? Can he do it in any other day of the week except Sabbath? He could. He could do it. But why specifically the Sabbath day? Why did he have to say to the guy, "Pick up your mat, pwede naman get up and go home"? If he did so, no one would probably notice. The Jewish leaders would not notice. The only reason why the conflict is happening is because they saw someone picking up something, which in their interpretation was breaking something against the Sabbath. So what's happening right here? Why did Jesus have to do it on the Sabbath day? You see, when Jesus healed this guy, it was one thing we need to realize. Whenever Jesus would do a miracle, a lot of times there's a deeper meaning. There's something beneath the surface. Yes, the miracles are amazing. Yes, it meets a present need, a surface level kind of need. But Jesus also does something. He uses it to teach us something as well. There's something else. What we have here is a microcosm. Okay, when I say microcosm, it's like a miniature version that tells us something of the bigger picture in a scale. And what's happening here is that when Jesus healed this man, and when the Jewish authorities saw what this man was doing, what we can get from this story, what we can catch from this story, both at the pool and about the Sabbath and the problem, was that Jesus was bringing into light where people were putting their hopes and faith on. For the man, it was the pool. For the invalid man, his source of salvation, his source of healing was that pool in Bethesda. If I could just get into that pool, I would be okay. I'd be healed. My source is there, this kind of water. For the Jewish leaders, it was following the law. It was doing religion. Let's go to the man for a while. If we imagine, if him talking to Jesus, his conversation probably went like this. Sir, I want to get into that water to get healed, but no one is going to help me. And Jesus, being who he is, maybe he had it in his mind. You want to get into that water? You don't need to get into that water because I am the living water. I can give you the healing. Again, miracles point to his nature. When Jesus did so, it points to him being the Messiah, being the Savior. It's like he's telling the invalid man, your source of salvation, your source of healing, your source of eternal life is not found in any body of water because I am the living water. Whoever comes to me will never be thirsty. I am the Messiah. I am the Savior. That's what's basically happening here. And when he had a run-in with the Jewish leaders, he had this to say to them in John chapter 5, verses 39 to 40. It says there, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. Talking about trying to obey the law, doing religion, trying to do good works, just that. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. In verse 40, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. What's happening right here? And what can you get and apply from it? As we see here, we have a group of people, the Jewish leaders, who diligently, devotedly study the scriptures. And yet they miss out the fact that these scriptures are pointing to Jesus. They're testifying about him. It's like Jesus is telling that if you read the scriptures, they're telling about me. Lo, you study the scriptures, you're waiting for the Messiah. Here I am. Jesus is telling them, it is not by trying to obey the law perfectly that you get eternal life. Because no one can follow the law perfectly. No one can earn eternal life, earn salvation by doing good works. Because no matter how many good works you do, it's never enough. He's telling them, these scriptures, they point to me, yet you refuse to come to me and have life. What does it mean? It means that just like the invalid man, the Jewish leaders were also invalid in some way. They may not be invalid physically, but just like the invalid man, they were also invalid spiritually. And for some of us here today, we are also on the same boat. We are all like the invalid man. Apart from Jesus, we are all like the invalid man. We are spiritually invalid, spiritually impaired, spiritually paralyzed, meaning we are like lame, paralyzed, crippled, blind. These Jewish leaders, they were blind. They couldn't see that what they were devoting their lives, getting texts, the scriptures, what it was trying to tell them was right there in front of them, see Jesus. They couldn't see it. They were so spiritually blind. And the same thing goes with us. Just like the invalid man who didn't know it was Jesus going to heal Zaya. He couldn't see. He was hopeless. The same thing with us. Apart from Jesus, without Jesus coming into the picture and saving and rescuing us, we would be just like these guys. That's what this story is all about. Jesus exposing stuff. Exposing something from this invalid man. Like this is where you put your hopes and faith on. Wala na siya, okay? I am the source. I am the living water. Meeting the Jewish leaders, you put your faith and hope on the scriptures. They testify about me. It should be on me. Yet you refuse to come to me for eternal life. It goes on even to say in verse 45, but do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. He's telling them, if you feel like you're going to earn eternal life because you followed the Mosaic law, Moses himself will accuse you because you're incapable of following the perfect law. This right here, friends, is another story of Jesus doing a miracle to point to himself being the Savior and the Messiah. But for all of us here today, we need to be reminded that Jesus, again, is our Savior. He is our Messiah. That the reason why we can hope, the reason why we can move forward and hope and believe for big things to happen and hope for change to happen, whatever the situation is, no matter how dark it is because He is our Savior. He is our Messiah. He was able to do something, solve the biggest problem of all, our sin. By dying on the cross for our sins, if He can do that, again, how much more the present things we are going through? Will He not also enable us to be victorious, to live victoriously? It is a sad thing that for a lot of us, even though we've received Jesus as our Savior, as our Lord, we've been saved, we've been rescued, we live our lives as if we are like the invalid man. We live our lives defeated. We live our lives hoping, waiting something to happen, putting our hopes on the wrong things. missing out that we can live victoriously by putting our faith and hope in Jesus. Again, the Bible says, who is it that overcomes the world? He who believes and trusts in Jesus overcomes the world. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. We are basically on the same boat. Again, apart from Jesus, without Him coming into our picture, we would be like the invalid man. All have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. All on the same boat. All about to suffer something worse than 38 years of being physically impaired. And that is eternal separation from God. And yet, because of what Jesus did, we can have the assurance and the confidence to move forward. When Jesus asked, do you want to get well? It wasn't just pertaining to His physical condition. It was also talking about His spiritual condition. When Jesus asked Him, do you want to get well? Do you want to get healed? He's telling them, do you want to get saved, basically? And for many of us here today, the question remains, do you want to get healed? Perhaps for some of us here, we've cried out. We've exhausted all efforts. We feel helpless and hopeless. But I want to remind all of us here today, we are not alone, that we have a Savior. We have someone who loves us and cares for us. And He's asking us, do you want to get well? Do you want to get healed? And maybe for some of you here today, you haven't encountered Jesus. Maybe for some of you here today, you're like that man on the pool, encountering Jesus for the first time. Maybe for some of us here today, it's not something physical. It's not siguro our grades, our finances, our relationships, our health. Maybe it's something spiritual. Do you want to get healed? Do you want to get saved? Do you want to get well? Perhaps for some of us here today, Jesus is extending that invitation to you right now. And all we need to do is respond. As I wrap up this installment about the healing of the pool, my simple point in sharing this story, is that this is a story about Jesus bringing hope to someone. He brings hope to this person and to us because He is our Savior. We can move in hope because we're putting our hope on the best possible person there is, on Jesus. Not on anything superficial, not on anything material, not on anything temporary, but on someone who will never leave us, nor forsake us, nor fail us. On Jesus. The Bible says, a bruised reed He will not break. You know what a bruised reed is? It's like something na kagubao, na kaputlon nga reed. For some of us here today, maybe you feel like you're like that reed. Kamay na lang push sa life, like you're gonna crumble, you're gonna break. Kamay na lang, like you feel like you're gonna collapse. And you know what? A bruised reed, He will not break. Jesus cares. He's compassionate. He's willing to reach out to us. Ask us, do you want to get well? Do you want to get healed? And my hope and my prayer, church, that we will put our faith and our hopes on Him, because He knows what's best for us.